Macmillan Audio presents Last Year by Robert Charles Wilson. Read for you by Scott Brick. Calm as that second summer which precedes the first fall of the snow, in the broad sunlight of heroic deeds, the city bides the foe. Henry Timrod, Charleston. Part 1. The City of Futurity, 1876. Chapter 1. Two events made the 1st of September a memorable day for Jesse Cullum. First, he lost a pair of Oakley sunglasses. Second, he saved the life of President Ulysses S. Grant. The part about saving Grant's life was speculative. Even without Jesse's intervention, the pistol might have misfired or the bullet missed its mark. Jesse felt uneasy about taking credit for an act of purely theoretical heroism. But the loss of the Oakleys, that was a real tragedy. He had loved those Oakleys, the way they improved his vision on sunny days, the way they made him look. Grant's visit had been carefully planned. That was how city people liked it. The fewer surprises, the better. Grant and his wife had arrived at Futurity Station in a special Pullman car, where they had endured a reception, complete with bands and a speech by the governor of Illinois, before a plush carriage carried them 5 miles down the paved road from the train depot to the steel gates of the City of Futurity. Jesse had ridden that absurdly smooth and perfect road many times. He had helped build it, and he knew exactly what Grant would have seen. A first glimpse of the city's impossibly tall white towers across the rolling Illinois plains, massifs of stone and glass, then the enormous concrete wall with gaudy words and pictures painted on it, the gleaming gates opening to admit his carriage, finally the crowd, both locals and visitors, jostling in the courtyard for a glimpse of him. Policing the crowd was Jesse's job. He had been assigned to the task by his boss, a man named Booking, the same Booking who had issued him the Oakleys 6 months ago. Today Jesse wore a freshly laundered city security uniform, white shirt, blue necktie, blue blazer with the words City of Futurity, staff, sewn in yellow thread across the pocket, a soft blue cap with the same legend above the bill, and, at least outdoors, the Oakley sunglasses, which Jesse believed lent him an air of sinister authority. When he wore his Oakleys, his reflection in the city's plate glass windows looked like a prize fighter with the eyes of a gigantic beetle. Newcomers invariably gave him startled, deferential looks. Jesse and three other security people had been assigned to the viewing line. The way it was supposed to work, Grant's carriage would enter through the gates. Grant and his wife would disembark. They would be escorted across the courtyard to the lobby of Tower 2 in view of the guests already present. Post and rope stanchions had been set up to maintain a distance between the crowd and the president, and Jesse was assigned to patrol that boundary and make sure no one jumped the line. It should have been easy duty. The weather was sunny but not unpleasantly warm. The current crop of guests seemed well-behaved. Jesse was eager to get his own look at Grant. Not that he had ever paid much attention to politics. So he watched attentively as the carriage came in and the gate rolled closed behind it. A valet took charge of the horses, and Grant and his wife Julia stepped into the sunlight. Mrs. Grant stared without embarrassment at the fantastically broad and tall buildings of the city. But General Grant himself appeared calm and measured. Not as fierce in this last year of his presidency as the images of him that had been published in news.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?